The great wealth transfer is underway and it's not slowing down. $83 trillion is set to be passed on to younger generations. So what's really different about this moment, and how can families avoid the pitfalls and prepare for succession? We're going to break that all down for you and a lot more right now on UBS Trending. Hey, everybody, and welcome to UBS Trending. I'm Anthony Pastore. Thanks for joining us today. My guest in the studio is Libby Stanchel, my friend and longtime colleague. Libby, nice to have you here in the studio. Good to see you.
So good to be here, Anthony. Thank you.
So I wanted to talk to you and your team have been working really hard on this Next Gen report that focuses on this great wealth transfer that we have been talking about for a few years now. It's here. It's underway. I mentioned right in the intro, $83 trillion over the next 10 to 20 years. What's interesting about this is that if you look back at history, it's a lot different today. People are certainly living longer. Their real estate values have gone up. Assets in their portfolios have certainly increased exponentially over the last few years. But to ask you the question as we get started today, what's different about this time, particularly related to that wealth transfer?
Yeah, absolutely. You said it. And what's so interesting about this particular wealth transfer, I feel like even outside of my work at UBS, I'm hearing it everywhere. It's part of headlines in CNBC and the Wall Street Journal. So it's very timely that we're having this discussion, and we have a lot of resources at UBS helping clients navigate these conversations. As you said, $83 trillion, that's almost three times the size of the US GDP. And most of that $83 trillion is going to be transferred in the United States, about $29 trillion. So the scale and the size alone make this truly unprecedented. Mm. But when you put the numbers aside, what's really interesting and makes this different is how the wealth is being transferred. First of all, wealth, as you may think, it travels in multiple directions.
Right.
So there's intragenerationally between spouses. We call that the horizontal wealth transfer. And then there's what you're thinking about and what you pointed out, that wealth being transferred vertically to the next generation. So thinking about multiple populations and different people who are coming into this wealth for the first time. Additionally, you know, as you said, people have longer life expectancies. We work with many clients who thankfully are involved professionally and personally in their family's lives for decades longer than they've been before. So in that sense, wealth transfer sort of implies a one-time act. It's really not that one-time act. It's a wealth transition over multiple generations and decades that families are having these conversations. Mm. You also said baby boomers, Gen Z, millennials, which is certainly true, and the majority is going to be passed on from those generations. But it's actually Gen X and baby boomers as well receiving wealth for some of the first time. So it's less about age when it comes to the wealth transfer and more about preparedness and responsibility as the primary drivers and feeling of that wealth transfer.
Right.
In the United States, almost 70% of our survey respondents associate wealth transfer with a shift in responsibility, not a major life event, you know, which is certainly important. We'll talk about that later. But
yeah.
More than any other region, it culturally, we feel that shift in responsibility much more, which is why we see this as much more of a journey over time.
Yeah, and you know, I think people automatically assume when you talk about wealth transfer through the generations, it means that it's being passed on after that loved one passes away. It's not actually just that. It's happening while they're also living. So
right.
They're living while giving,
right.
Or giving while living is probably the better way to say it. So there's so many different nuances of this. And I do want to point out, if we can pull that chart up again from the control room, you just talked about that 67% say it's a responsibility shift, and then that 17% passing of a family member opportunity. Those are really interesting pieces that, again, were in this Next Gen report that you and your colleagues have put together,
right.
Had survey respondents, global report, taking a look at the U.S. results. I find this to be really fascinating. That is a huge skew in one direction to have that top one be at 67%.
Yeah, about the average, I believe, was in the 40% or 50%. So it does stand out a lot more in the United States. And it is interesting when you look at different cultures, how they interpret shifts in responsibility and wealth transfer. I said already that the greatest wealth transfer is happening in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of opportunity and space for us to help.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things we always talk about here, being, you know, under the roof of UBS and under the keys, as you were, as they were. We do have a lot of resources and staff and people around who can assist our clients and prospective clients on all kinds of journeys, including this one. So let me ask you, Libby, because, you know, this is probably something we pulled out from the report. If you know, it is a journey. We talked about wealth transfer is a journey. Where are our clients that were surveyed in this report on their journey? What were they talking about while they were taking this particular survey? Where did you find them?
Yeah, so about a third are already in the middle of a wealth transfer, which is great. But almost about half are either in the planning stages with their advisors, and even some haven't started at all. Almost half.
Wow.
So
that's probably bigger than you would have expected, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, based on the demand that we hear from clients and these conversations happening all the time, it doesn't surprise me in some ways, but it's more reassuring for everyone else out there who might think like, oh my gosh, I'm too late, I haven't started. Nope, you're right where you're meant to be, and most are in the beginning phases of this transfer.
Right.
The biggest catalyst, as we've talked about, is taking on more responsibility. After that, I mentioned life events briefly, but that is the reality. There's beautiful life milestones that happen, marriages, births, more difficult family times as well, like an illness or a passing that bring about these difficult conversations, and even big professional milestones like a liquidity event for a business. So we really see those are the types of triggers for these types of conversations. Unsurprisingly, parents and senior wealth owners are the ones to initiate these conversations. But really, most next gens, once we're in the dialogue, wish that we had these conversations much sooner.
Sure.
We see a lot of these conversations happening for people in young adulthood, but we help families with children as young as three have these conversations. And for those that might be thinking, well, you know, talking about this too early creates a, you know, sense of responsibility, or it's even worrying about, you know, sharing details about money might create a sense of entitlement among children.
Sure.
But we find that starting earlier actually creates the opposite effect. It creates a lot of empowerment and clarity. And by the way, there's also ways to have these dialogues and conversations without revealing the entire balance sheet at once. So we actually, in almost every client engagement that my team works on, we start with a conversation around purpose, values, and intent around wealth, really starting with why. Because when the family, and especially that next generation, has a sense of why, you know, the wealth was created and what is important to the family, that will really serve as the guidepost and the marker as you get into more difficult conversations with regard to structure and governance that can happen later on. So always starting with purpose and values.
Yeah, you know, it's a really good point that you bring up. I've sat in my chair hosting, you know, conversations like these for a long time now, and many conversations have related to the idea of having difficult conversations, whether it's about finances, preparing for, you know, the illness or death of a loved one. Like, these are conversations that are not the most easy thing to just kind of bring up on a Sunday when you're sitting with your parents or your grandparents saying, hey, have you thought about what happens when, you know, you're no longer on this earth? It's not the most comfortable thing, but there are ways to have those conversations, even working with a financial advisor who can maybe sort of help guide that conversation a little bit. So Libby, you know, I think there's a lot that's in the report. I would encourage everybody watching today to reach out to a financial advisor at UBS, get a copy of the report. There's some great information in there and more feedback from the surveys and results. But I just wanted to ask you, like, talk about the consequences of this. Talk about what families who are watching this today, what they should be thinking about to take that journey if they're not already on it. How do they start it? And what are the consequences if they don't?
Right. And, you know, we often find that if these conversations haven't happened, it's not because people don't care, they don't find it important, or haven't found time to plan. Mm-hmm. Like you said, on a Sunday, no one's just bringing this up out of the blue. That's actually one thing that we really advocate for in our work, is creating intentional time for these conversations. We recommend, and we actually can help facilitate in a lot of cases, family meetings that are separate from dinners or holidays. Sometimes they can take place on a family vacation if that's when everyone is together, but really setting aside 2 or 3 hours with a set agenda, topics that need to be discussed, and not just going through that agenda, but then committing to that as a long-term conversation. Mm. So I would just like to reiterate to everyone that creating intentional time is really important. I don't think anyone expects you to bring this up at, you know, the next Christmas or holiday. Right. Mother's Day is the next
one. The ham and the turkey around the table and the mashed potatoes. And by the way, let's talk about this difficult conversation about money.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Which is never an easy topic to bring up in the first place.
Exactly.
Right. And maybe it happens over multiple conversations, and maybe it's not just a one and done.
Right. And then other places where people get stuck sometimes include clarity around roles and responsibilities. So we've talked about people feel that shift in responsibility before they even come into money. Maybe you have some next generation family members already involved in the family business, working there in some capacity. Mm. Maybe you have family members who are kind of informally managing family's investments or are involved in some other way. But what structure can help introduce is creating, you know, putting that conversation on paper and allowing the family to ask, okay, who is involved? And also sometimes who isn't involved?
Right.
And that can create, uncomfortableness. But again, in the longer term, that structure really helps guide the path going forward. And once something's on paper, you know, it can always change too, but it's about what does our situation look like now?
Yeah.
Another place or a consequence, as you mentioned, that people get stuck is doing this too late or all at once. Many people do wait until that defining life moment, and at that point, it can feel a little bit more reactive than proactive, deciding under pressure, making difficult decisions.
Exactly.
I think we all want to avoid that.
If you're already stressed out about whatever that particular event is, it doesn't make this particular conversation any easier.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Right.
So starting earlier, communicating clearly is always important, and we advocate for that.
Right.
So the families who are doing this well, and that 33% maybe who are already on their way, they don't view structure or these conversations as constraints. They're flexible and willing to evolve and see it as an empowering source as they continue.
Excellent. Libby, thank you. Great stuff. Congratulations to you and the team on the report, the survey that's in there. So I would encourage everybody to make sure they get a copy of that. Good to see you, Libby.
Good to see you too, Anthony.
Great.
Thank you.
You too. Libby Stanchill, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us as well. If you'd like more information, you can visit our website at ubs.com/views. Lots of content there for you. And make sure to follow UBS on social media. We're on LinkedIn and Facebook. Plus, UBS Studios has its own Instagram channel at UBS Trending is the name of that. So give us a follow there. And as always, if you do have any questions, or want to get a copy of the Next Gen report that has the survey results in it, make sure that you are continuing this conversation with your financial advisor. And until next time, I'm Anthony Pastore. We wish you a great rest of your day. And remember to keep your eyes on what's trending. We'll see you soon, everybody. Thanks.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.